Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we bring you some news, talk about our favorite shows and characters, give you a fun recipe to try out, and also suggest some things that we are watching. Joining me this week is...
What's up, everybody? It's Epically Dave.
Welcome back. This is a rare repeat. I mean, like, is this like a sequel, or is how we like...
Yeah, we could call it that. We talk about sequels a lot anyway, so we might as well.
Yeah, so I guess, what have you been up to
since it's been a week? I was going to say, since it's only been a week, nothing too crazy. Maybe some news for some of my fans on Instagram. I will be going back to streaming soon, potentially this week. There will be a post coming out. We had a set date originally. I would like to try to stick to it, but, you know, even you and I talking off screen, we might need to make a little bit more of an official announcement and everything. But that's all I got going on so far. What about you?
Well, for me, what have I been up to? I guess I've just been enjoying this downtime. I mean, like, I still got work and all that, but just like enjoying not having classes. We talked, I was going back to school, so. I am taking summer classes, but that doesn't start till July. So I've been enjoying my downtime. I did watch Masters of the Universe. I saw that in theaters. So it's really hard to be like, I enjoy all movies. I love just going to the theater. So I'm like, every movie should be seen in a theater. This was a really fun movie. I liked it a lot. I will watch it again when it comes out on streaming. I don't know if you need a rush out to go see it right away, but it was great. And then I also saw the Amazing Digital Circus, I think that's what it's called. My friend is obsessed with that online show, and they had the finale in theaters, so I binged it all, and then I watched it in theaters, and I really loved it. So it's not recommendations segment yet, but if you should watch the Amazing Digital Circus if you guys have a chance. It's free. It's on YouTube, so you can stream it. And then the last episode will be out like in a week from when this podcast drops. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
Yeah, I want to see Masters of the Universe. So you liked it?
I liked it. I think it was a fun popcorn movie. You just go in, no expectations. It felt like a Saturday morning cartoon come to life. And I've seen that it's not getting good reviews, or like people aren't enjoying it as much, but like I feel like we're in this time where everything needs to be like complex and dark and broody, and like they want your favorite childhood IP to be like this more than it's supposed to be. It's just supposed to be fun and enjoy, and like the characters are supposed to be goofy, and we're supposed to have like a good time. And so yeah, I think you would like it. I know you like the actor who plays He-Man.
Yeah, Miguel, though, he has never seen He-Man or Masters of the Universe or anything like that. Like, he never watched the cartoon growing up. Granted, he's younger than we are. So he never got a chance, not by much, but just enough to where he didn't get a chance to actually watch it as a kid. But when watching the trailer, he definitely thought it looked pretty cheesy. So he doesn't know if he's interested in spending money on something cheesy.
Well, I mean, it's nacho cheese. It's you don't need to know anything, though. Like, you don't need to know any He-Man lore to enjoy this. There were some scenes in the movie, if you kind of know a little bit about He-Man and like
there's a little bit of lore.
Not lore, but like,
maybe cameos.
Cameos.
Or Easter eggs.
Yeah, there's some Easter eggs and cameos. It's just like, oh my gosh, I know that. And yeah, so it was, I enjoyed it a lot. So maybe you guys wait for streaming. There's so many great movies out now, though. So it's like hard to pick.
I tell you what, I did, now that you mentioned the movies, we did go to the movies this last weekend. And we did get to go see Devil Wears Prada 2. Highly recommend for any of the OG Devil Wears Prada fans. I loved it. In my opinion, and in Miguel's opinion, it was a perfect sequel. We enjoyed every bit of it, and even teared up at the end.
I did like comedy. That movie too. I liked it. I saw it in theaters. I don't think it was good enough to like double dip. You know, I was like, I need to see this again.
Yeah, sure. At theater. Sure.
Though I have been more precious. Like, I think when you first met me, I was like seeing the same movie. You met me during my Shang-Chi phase, and I saw that like 8 times in theaters.
Right. Now, I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, you and I were both kind of like that. We wanted to see the movie over and over again while we can in theaters.
Yeah, but now that the economy has changed a little bit and like times are different, it's like I'm really picky about like what movies I want to see twice in theaters. I still go see movies multiple times. It's just like there's a higher standard to it now.
I agree. I'm the same way. We didn't even go see Scream 7 in theaters, and I was even bummed myself about that. I'm glad I didn't, to be honest, because we finally did recently watch it, and you know, I am a big fan of the recent newer ones, 5 and 6. I loved them, but what they did with this one, like, it was fine. It was still good to watch. It wasn't, in my opinion, movie theater worthy. But yeah, now Project Hail Mary, I did have to see that multiple times. That one was a good one to see in theaters multiple times. But I'll say that about any space movie.
Scream 7. Oh man, it's so hard. I love the Scream movies. It's hard to be like, I don't like this one. It is the worst one, in my opinion, out of all 7 of them that have been
released. It's pretty rough. Yeah.
And I think 3 is not that good. So to be like, this one is worse than 3, at least 3 had redeeming qualities to it. I feel like this one was just like, it had moments and I was hoping for more because Sydney's back and all that. I love horror movies. That's my, like, was it bread and butter? Is that the right term? It's my go-to. If there's a horror movie out, I'm going to go see it in theaters. I saw Obsession. I saw Backrooms. I love horror, so.
You did see Backrooms?
Yes, I did see Backrooms.
Did you like it?
Watch Obsession. If you're like, I got to pick between these two, watch Obsession, and then maybe you could save Backrooms for streaming. Okay. But if you're able to see 2 movies and go, like, I think it's a good double feature, but Backrooms is the weaker of the two.
Okay. My brother saw Backrooms and he told me I would really like it. He said it was really scary. I don't think he's seen Obsession, though.
Oh, I love Obsession. I think Obsession is the best horror movie of the year.
Okay, so now I'm trying to think of what's come out so far this year, because that's saying a lot.
Well, we haven't had too much horror. What did come out this year? All I can think about is like things that have already. Oh wait, Weapons wasn't this year. That was last year.
Right.
I was like, Weapons would have been.
We did have The Mummy.
The Mummy, yeah. The Mummy's okay. But.
Yeah, I didn't. It was fine. It was a good movie. I didn't find it scary at all.
Send Help. It was okay.
See, I haven't seen that one yet, and I want to because of Dylan O'Brien.
Scream 7.
But, yep.
I'm looking at a list of movies, and a lot of these are like direct to streaming.
Yep. Or some of them haven't even come out yet, based on Hokum? The list that I'm looking at.
Hokum, that's a good one.
Yeah. I've been told that one's pretty creepy.
They Will Kill You.
Yeah, I guess a lot of the movies I think I'm thinking of were 2025.
Yeah, Weapons was so good. I feel like Weapons would have been. Weapon is my favorite of last year. We still got a few more horror movies coming out this year. So I don't know if that Evil Dead movie comes out this year or not, but that one looks crazy.
I think I saw that it is.
That might be my favorite. I don't know. The Evil Dead movies creep me out, but like in a good way. But yeah, so far Obsession is my favorite.
Evil Dead Burn, correct?
Yeah.
That one, in theaters July 10th.
Oh, like next month.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
A month away.
But yeah, I think my problem with the Evil, okay, before we move on, I'm a rambler, but like my problem with the Evil Dead, like stuff is like, I want it to all be connected. Like yeah. The last Evil Dead movie, what was it called? Evil Dead Rise. I want that one to connect into this one, but like in reality, they don't have to connect. I should stop wanting things to be a universe and just be like, we can enjoy separate stories. Let's enjoy our own thing. So man, July. Okay. I'm excited for that.
I think we've just been spoiled with, like, I don't even know if spoiled is the right word. It's just, that's just how a lot of these stories have been treated lately. Not just in, like, not just in horror movies, but, like, you know, just the movie genres across the board, right? Like, they'll start with one movie, then a second, and where, when you could make two different movies that had no connection. Nowadays, it's, those are the Easter eggs that you want to find in every movie, is like, you know, how is this connected to this particular universe? I feel like there's been, I think we've gotten a lot of that, like a lot more lately than what we used to.
Yeah, I think Marvel spoiled us
a little bit.
But then like you can't maintain it. Like they couldn't maintain it. So like, I don't know. I guess we're just spoiled. You're right. We're just spoiled on like, we had it so good back in the day. Well, anything else for your week before we move on?
Nope.
Well, on that note, the battle for the biggest anime headlines never end. From new seasons to unexpected plot twists, now here's everything you need to know in this week's anime news. First up, Devil May Cry. Netflix and Studio Mir announced that the upcoming animated adaptation, the third season, will serve as the final installment of the series. If you missed the movie Jujutsu Kaisen Hidden Inventory, don't worry, because Crunchyroll dropped it on their streaming service, so you can catch up on that. Blue Lock's live action film just dropped a trailer, so if you're interested in seeing that, if you're a Blue Lock fan, which is great because it's like the World Cup has just started, so Blue Lock is a great anime to watch to get you into the soccer mood. The trailer features a theme song performed by the massive J-pop powerhouse group, Ado. And movies again. These are the same ones we said last time, but I just want to remind you so you can get your tickets. Crunchyroll is doing their Anime Night Summer Sneak Peek, and that's going to be on June 15th, which is a Monday. Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, The Calamity, is running from June 25th through June 29th. And Studio Ghibli's Ghibli Fest is continuing with Ponyo, and that's June 13th through the 17th. So you're able to get those tickets. They're on sale right now. It's time for the part of the show where we make questionable decisions and defend them confidently. Our rotating anime segment starts now. Segment of the week. Bring it on and let's speak. This week's segment is, we're going to summer camp, guys. It's summer camp counselors. We're making a summer camp run by our favorite anime characters, and these are the ones we would pick to run these activities. So we have a list of six activities. I'm going to list them real quick, and then we'll go through them one by one.
So we'll go through each individual category together.
Yeah.
And then, okay, cool.
But I just want everyone to get a feel of what the categories are.
Right.
So these are the camp categories we have. We have science experiments, arts and crafts, talent show, swimming, like cooking. I put cooking s'mores, but just like, you know, campfire cooking, that kind of stuff. And then the campfire sing-along, which is a very important job. So those are our six categories. David and I have staffed them each with our own camp. So let's see who has the better camp.
I'm actually excited about this one. This took a lot of thinking. I even had to, you know, check with Miguel to make sure that I was thinking of the right people for my picks specifically. So I'm very excited about this.
Okay. I told you before we recorded that I was like, I'm nervous. We might have some similar picks, but you assured me we probably won't. So let's kick it off. I will begin this time. And then we'll start with our first counselor leading science experiments for the the summer, and I picked Senku from Dr. Stone. Genius man, brought people back to life from stone. Senku is, I feel like, an obvious choice to run the science team.
No, that's definitely a good choice. I did not think of him. I went a little bit more obscure with this choice.
It's going to be sort of weird.
And it was more so for the humor, and I'll explain why. So for science experiments, I chose Professor Banner from Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. He is, for those who remember or even don't remember, I don't want to spoil it per se, but Professor Banner, ultimately, you discover that he is an alchemist. But when he's in the classroom and he is performing the science experiments, he ends up blowing up a lot. Like, he keeps blowing things up, and it's hilarious. I thought of this as more of like, of all the different camp counselors, he's probably definitely the comic relief of the staff. I thought it'd be great. I would love to learn a little bit of alchemy if we could. I think he'd be a perfect person to lead the science experiments.
I liked him in the beginning of the anime. For the next one, I picked, this is arts and crafts, everyone. I'm nervous now. I picked Tracy from the Pokemon series. You remember Tracy? Do you have Tracy as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about Tracy Sketchum, right?
Yeah.
He sketches.
Wouldn't he be great to lead arts and crafts?
I don't know why I find that so funny, but I do.
I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. So he wasn't originally my arts and crafts person, or it was blank, and then I thought of him, and then I had to change another person because I had two Pokemon people on my list. But I wanted, like, no similar animes, no same series, so.
Right. No, I get that. I did the same thing. That's why I wanted to make sure I went through every anime I've ever watched to pick mine. So, yeah.
Tracy is my pick to lead arts and crafts. So what about for you?
Okay, so mine is Ryoma from By the Grace of the Gods. Ryoma, if you have not seen By the Grace of the Gods, he is a reincarnated man turned into a little boy, going into this new world where the gods have graced him with every kind of magic that there is. He's very creative. He is a monster tamer, but he tames specifically slimes. But he's very creative. You know, he's turned a lot of things from the modern day world. He's figured out a way to make some specific items like that are handy, like a raincoat, poncho, for example, in this fantasy world, when it's a place where you wouldn't think you could have something like that. So he's definitely very creative. Plus the magic could help out a little bit too. And if we can have his slimes help us out, that would be even better. So
they
I definitely
be carrying,
think
like the paint supplies and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. No, that's, I think we definitely have a completely different roster, but I think both of our camps so far are sounding pretty fun.
Okay.
So the next
I'm worried
one
about
is
swimming, but that's not the next category. The next category
right.
is who's running the talent show.
Yep.
For me, I picked Present Mike.
Okay. I didn't even think about him. Yeah.
Okay. See, I was like, man, maybe you're such an MHA fan. So I was like, oh, he might have Present Mike on his. But like, that's the guy to lead. Like, you want someone who can like announce things and hype the crowd up for the talent show. Present Mike is your man.
Yep, that he is. No, I can see that.
For you?
For me, again, a little bit more obscure.
Okay.
But so when I thought of running the talent show, to me that thought of like, you know, this person is like the director. They are taking charge and making sure everybody is organized and maybe critiquing all of the contestants a little bit on their performances or in some cases, obviously encouraging them. So my person who's running the talent show is Kotaro from Kotaro Lives Alone.
Oh my God.
I think he would be perfect And the only reason why I say that is because of the whole situation in his anime, Kotaro Lives Alone, is with his neighbor needing encouragement and also discipline as a comic book artist or as a manga artist. And it is hilarious the way he does it. And even when he performs his own shows, they're perfect. So that was who I chose.
So here's your camp counselor, Kotaro.
Yep. Little Kotaro. All right. So you said this one you're a little worried about. It's swimming.
Yes. Yeah, so swimming and like water activities, all that stuff. Okay. So I picked Mako Tsunami from Yu-Gi-Oh!
He was on my list, but I did not pick him.
Okay.
I did not pick him.
Good, because I have no backups.
Okay. See, I had a lot of, it doesn't even have to be in any of these people per se, but when you think of swimming, water, right? Like water themed.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what we were all thinking. Obviously, it didn't have to be that way, but I thought of Mako Tsunami. I thought of another, I even thought of Sue from MHA. But
okay.
The person I decided to go with was Misty from Pokemon, because she actually runs an aquarium and actually swims as a mermaid. So if anybody can run it and act as a lifeguard at the same time, would be her.
Okay, I could see it. Okay, I did have another one I was going back and forth on swimming or water activities. And oh my gosh, now I can't. It was Aquarius from Fairy Tail, the god from Lucy's Keys.
There is no way. She is too mean.
Yeah, but you need someone straight. Be like, no swimming. Get out of the deep end.
You don't. I don't know.
She's
I don't
mean.
Know.
Oh, how far are you? Well,
but
okay.
I can't see her be friendly.
Oh, man. You need to finish Fairy Tail.
I guess I do.
You're
going to
cry your eyes out. You won't have eyes anymore once you learn her backstory.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. So for cooking s'mores or camp chef. Okay. You go first. Who do you have?
So when I was thinking of cooking s'mores, I didn't necessarily think of a camp chef. I thought of more like the leader at the campfire. Yes,
okay,
we have
the fire.
Right. I know we have the person who's also running the campfire sing-along, but this other person is in charge of the fire, in charge of the s'mores, but also in charge of storytelling, right?
Okay.
Like keeping everybody together, like just that all-around homey person. So with that being said, I had two people. But my number one choice was Tanjiro from Demon Slayer.
Okay. Tanjiro's got some good stories, I think.
Exactly. And, you know,
and he's a good campfire cooker.
Yes. And having all, you know, having his siblings and everything, he's like that, you know, that gives off those big brother vibes. I think he would be great as a camp counselor. Now, to help him out, because this person, remember, I had two choices.
Okay.
To help him out, was the second in command, and that would be Fern from Frieren. I think
she's so lazy.
Fern's not. Frieren is.
Fern. Okay.
Yeah,
I was thinking
Fern's
Frieren.
Not.
I was like, Frieren will still be asleep. She won't
up. No, yeah. Fern,
okay,
I think
Fern
would be a good one. She, you know, she loves her sweets. She'd be a great listener to everybody who wants to tell their campfire stories. She would help ensure that everybody is there and taken care of. Like I think she would be a great second in command, but Tanjiro would definitely be running it. All right. So who were your choices?
For my choice, I was thinking a lot. I was like, who could this be? I want someone who's like good at cooking. And I picked Makoto Kino. And that is Sailor Jupiter from Sailor Moon. And I just remember when I was growing up watching Sailor Moon, Sailor Jupiter would be the one to always make like a bento box or like a little picnic basket. Or like she loved to like bake and make food. So I was like, oh, we got to have a Sailor Scout running around. Also, we have a lot of dudes. We need like a girl. as a camp counselor on my team.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. You know, I oftentimes forget choosing characters from all of the OG anime that I grew up with. I don't know why outside of Pokemon, obviously. But I don't know why. I always seem to forget them. So, like, again, Sailor Moon, Cardcaptors.
Because of Dragon Ball Z.
Monster Rancher, Dragon Ball Z. Oh, yeah, Monster all Rancher, of those. Wow. Yeah. Like, I could be thinking about all of these other characters, but I don't. I should.
This is where I had another Pokemon person originally, and I switched it. Originally, I put Brock in here.
He was one of my choices, too, at first. But
yeah, he'll make you those donuts.
Misty for Smith swimming.
Yeah, I didn't want you Pokemon people. And I was like, oh, Tracy's a better pick, I think.
Oh, yeah, Tracy's more unique. I thought that one was good.
And Brock would kind of, like, interfere with, like, people would get confused with my next pick for Campfire Sing-Along. So for Campfire Sing-Along, who's running it? Of course, I got to go with the One Piece character. We got Brooks. If you know, you know. Brooks is the singing guy. I don't know how well, like, how... I don't know if he will be scared because he's a skeleton. But I feel like that brings the campfire vibes even more. But Brooke, I don't know. I feel like you're going to have a good one. But, like, I think Brooke's, like, one of the best. So that's why I couldn't have Brock as well. Because Brooke and Brock, it's going to get confusing.
No, I get that. For sure. But I mean, I definitely think that's still a great choice. You know, I you know me, I haven't watched really a whole lot of One Piece, so I'm not entirely sure who that is. But I feel like when you know somebody that could run a campfire song, like, you know that that's, like, going to be a comfort character for probably a lot of people. So I get it. Mine is probably, I don't know if this is generic or not, but my answer for the campfire sing-along is Class 1A from MHA, or more specifically,
the
Giro.
Whole class.
I was going to ask if I could do the whole class because
you're like, everyone just come out.
All of them come out right now. No, but more specifically, Giro, aka Earphone Jack, for those who don't know their personal aliases. Giro is the singer in Class 1A from MHA. She's wonderful. Love her vibes. Love her voice. I think she would be a great camp counselor for my team. And also great at, you know, the singing too.
I was surprised you didn't pick Kotaro to lead your singing.
I thought about that. But then I also thought about the whole, oh, he's tone deaf.
Yeah. But, okay. This may be controversial opinion, but I don't think you need to be like, I say enthusiasm over pitch for me. If you got the energy and you're leading the campfire, like if you're leading the song, I like the energy more than I'm like, but then I'm also an off pitch singer. So I feel like that resonates with me.
I mean, I'm the same way, but I'm one of those more insecure people to where for me, it's the opposite where like, I don't sing very well. So I don't really want to sing in front of everybody. Let somebody else run the campfire songs that can actually hold a tune.
Do you sing at concerts?
I'm
just
curious. Oh yeah. 100%. Karaoke. I'll do that too. Like again, I'm tone deaf. I'm sorry for anybody who's ever had to hear me sing. My husband gets to hear me sing in the car every day, all day, every day, but I try to limit to just my household that has to go through it most of the time. But yes, concerts, 100%.
Oh yeah. I love singing in a concert, except when I see someone recording. If I see someone recording, I'm like, I'm going to give you 30 seconds of silence. So you get a good clip in, and then I'm going back to it. But yeah, I feel you. I think we have some great picks. We would love to hear what y'all think, and who would you pick for these categories? And maybe say, which camp would you like to go to? Are you Camp Epically Dave, or are you Camp Jimsta? Or are you saying home? You're like, neither.
Neither one. I want to know too. Come on, who does not want to perform in a talent show created or directed by Kotaro? I mean, I'm just saying. That'd be so much
elementary
fun.
School kid with the saddest backstory you'll ever hear.
Preschool, not even elementary school. Preschool. Oh, wow. Yeah, a preschool kid.
Please leave us your comments and let us know at Anime Bento Pod on Instagram. Each week, one anime steps into the spotlight. This week, we watched it, we processed it, and now it's time to talk about it. What happens when a skateboard enthusiast adopts a Canadian snowboarder and immediately throws him into a world of skateboarding competition? You get the anime Skate the Infinity, packed with outrageous skateboard battles, dramatic rivalries, and enough over-the-top energy to launch a board into space. This series proves that friendship and extreme sports are a perfect combo. You can watch Skate the Infinity on Crunchyroll. Every great anime has its food moments, and now it's our turn. Here's this week's special recipe to help you enjoy the show. This week's recipe is Reki's Red Ramp Rush, which is our take on a spicy mango margarita. Tequila, mango juice, lime juice, triple sec, and rim your glass with some tajin. Enjoy this while you go to your S battle. Okay, David, we watched Skate the Infinity, continuing our Pride Month celebration in June. What were some of your thoughts on the anime?
Just so everybody's aware, this is more of a fanfic for LGBT more so than confirmed LGBT storytelling. But I mean, with that being said, I still loved this anime so much. Honestly, thank you for recommending this anime to me. I wanted so much more after this season. I looked up that a couple years ago anyway, they confirmed that there is a season 2. We have not heard anything about it since then. So I don't know when it's going to come out. But I mean, honestly, Jimmy, this is like, the anime is great. The music is phenomenal. The characters, the storytelling. There was some storytelling that was kind of predictable, but it was still like what's the word for it? The cinematography? The visuals were, and some scenes were incredible. I genuinely loved it. A lot of great characters. Reki is one of those main characters that kind of reminds you of a lot of the other like goofy, comical anime main characters, kind of like Naruto, for example. But for me, much better. I liked him a lot more than some of those other kind of main characters. I thought he was well written. I also like that they took this main character and, you know, he's not the best in the story. And even when he's in the tournament, it's not about this, you know, it's not about this underdog trying to win, right? There's so much more about that. And the fact that this main character isn't entirely the main hero, he is this almost like the support character, right? He builds Snow or Langa's skateboard, for example, and helped him become great, essentially. And I kind of like that, the way that story is told. But I mean, again, a lot of great characters, a lot of great comic relief, a lot of fan shipping. A lot of fan shipping, but again, I still loved it.
First of all, I love this anime. If you know me, you know I love slice of life. I love sports animes. So what about skateboarding? It just felt like natural to gravitate towards. The reason, though, I picked this for our Pride Month celebration is, I don't know if you remember this happened like a few years back, but one Pride Month, the Babadook from the movie The Babadook became like an LGBTQ icon. Like people were holding the Babadook at parades and they were like, the Babadook's for gay rights. And it was like, wait, why did the Babadook become this gay icon? For no reason. Well,
where was I for this?
Did you miss the Babadook? The Babadook was at Pride. Like there was a Babadook cutout at Pride for no apparent reason. That people were holding it, and then people were like, oh, the Babadook is our gay icon now. So,
side note, for those who like horror movies, watch The Babadook if you have not. It's phenomenal. But yeah, continue.
Yeah, and no, if you're an ally, you need hilarious. To watch The Babadook. Yeah, so The Babadook became that. And then this feels similar to me in that sense that Skate the Infinity is queer-coded. It's very queer-coded. But like the community
was like...
it's almost
queer-baited.
Like, well, okay, I'll get to you on that point that I don't believe that it's queer-baiting at all.
Okay, go ahead.
So the queer community has rallied against and said, like, this is our anime. We love this property. And I mean, like, it has all the things that the queer community loves, which is like buff skaters. But it's just like a love story. Not a love story. A love story of friendship, I guess. See, I'm shipping them.
Even the words that they use. Like at one point, Longa even specifically says our relationship. Like it's very difficult to not queer code it.
But why I think it's not queer baiting is that we don't know any of their, like, we don't know any of their sexualities. I mean, you can assume Adam's though, but everyone else, you're kind of like, oh, maybe they're bisexual. Maybe like it's this friendship or whatnot. Like, I think sometimes we project the romanticness of it. Yeah, it's very heavy. But you can be like, wow, this is a very intense friendship as well. I don't consider it queer baiting. I think a lot of people don't. But the things that I think make this so queer-coded is that they do... skating is banned. Like, skating is, like, looked on in this world as, like, something negative. And if you're, like... if you're a skater, you're delinquent, and like we can't associate with skaters, or like they've had to run and create their own safe space and a place where like they're accepted and their community can flourish. And I feel like that is very much in like the queer community of like being unaccepted in one place and then building your own safe place and building your own community and something like that. The other thing I really love about this anime there's a lot. I love this anime in general. I can watch this 1,000 times. But one thing that really stuck out to me about this when I was watching it and thinking about like queerness is that it just, I don't know how familiar you are with ball culture and like ballroom, like that queer culture of like that, just like fashion and dancing and just kind of expressing yourself in that way. This, when they're doing the skateboarding thing, the entrances, the costumes, how people like nickname themselves, it just feels very ballroom to me, and I love it. It's like the best, a great representation of that without being like we're copying exactly what ballroom is. So, and this anime has one of the best lines ever, when Adam comes out and he says, hey, bitches and bros and non-binary hoes. That's like, I was like, yes.
I died. I was not expecting that from an anime whatsoever. It was, I had to be quiet at that moment because Miguel was in a meeting right in the other room and I burst out laughing. But it was, yeah, that was truly one of the best lines of the entire series. It was so funny.
I mean, Adam's not my favorite character, but if any character was to be gay, it would be Adam. I mean,
he explicitly calls Longa, I think it maybe 2 times at least, his Eve.
Yeah.
Because he's referencing like Adam and Eve.
His whole mission is he wants to find his Eve. He needs to find the person that completes him. And in a sense, I'm like, oh, I wonder if Adam is like bisexual or just, you know, like I'm searching for my Eve. I'm searching for whoever can complete me, no matter what gender they are.
Just to tag on with the whole queer coding versus queer baiting and everything, I do want to say that, you know, after like doing a little bit of extra reading, like you, the director's history, like her work has included a lot of LGBT themes. So I kind of think that's like where a lot of this a controversy for those who, you know, feel it is full on queer baiting could potentially come from. But I did see that they're like the cast, the crew, like the team, they full on embraced, and they've definitely like to, quote unquote, you know, when it comes to like the Google AI and everything, they've leaned into the gay coding of the characters during like live panels and things like that. Because I think at this point it's kind of difficult to ignore without it essentially turning into queer baiting. But I think that if they do end up having season 2, there's a lot of room for them to at least to add or to transform one or two of these relationships into an LGBT romance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like Reki and Longa could be 100%. A couple. I feel 100%. Like Cherry and Joe could be a couple. Adam and whoever. Oh, Adam and his like
Adam and his puppy. Butler. He keeps referring to him as his puppy. Yeah, but
but that ending was weird.
Yes.
I, every time I see it, I'm like, well, if he likes it, that's great. You know what? If they're both enjoying it, then you know what? Go for it.
Yep. That was
a surprise character that I'm always like, oh, I'm surprised that I really love this character is Shadow. And I love that Shadow has this dual personality. Like, he's one way when he's outside of the skating, and then he turns into a different person inside the skating. My favorite running gag is that he's old. And he's like, I'm only 24.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. It took me a minute to realize that that was Shadow. You know, his everyday alias. Like, I'm like, wait a minute, that's him? Like, and then when you put two and two together, you're like, oh my God, like, wow. Just because, yeah, Shadow, you know, you meet him in the very first episode is like this crazy dark punk, like a punk rock kind of skater guy, skater man, like almost like a biker, like a scary biker man. But then when you see him in his day job, he is a florist, and it's hilarious because his voice completely changes, his demeanor, he's not big punk rock, he's actually incredibly sweet. Totally different. I will say though, despite that, like that cool little transition between the two sides of him, I didn't really care for his character.
Oh, you didn't like him? I liked him a lot.
It's not that I didn't like him, it just I don't know, I just like he's just there for me.
For me, this anime is like a spoil of riches. It's too many great characters. Like, I love all these characters. Reki, Longa, Cherry, Joe, Shadow. It's like, there's a too many great characters to be like, oh, there's one I'm forgetting. Was it Maya?
Mia, yeah.
Yeah, Mia. I don't even have Mia on my list. But Mia, like, you're a riches of characters that are great. And they got to have a good story. It's just, I really like.
That's why I need more than one season.
I'm actually happy. I'm like, I don't know if I need more. It was great. I like to be like, then they were all happy, and the friendship of skateboarding sustains them for the rest of their life.
That's how they end it. Like, it. For those who haven't seen it yet.
Maybe Adam goes to jail. Oh, no.
For those who haven't seen it yet, it is a good season on its own. Like, it does end things like fine. It just, when you like a story or an anime so much and you're all like, no, I want more of like the action scenes. I want more of the drama. I want, in this case, like I want to see these relationships become a thing. I want more of it. That's what I mean by that. Like, that's one of those, I'm like, man, I could totally see another 2 or 3 seasons of this show, and I would love every bit of it. But especially the final, like, quote unquote battle, the final race, that was a stellar race, man. Like that was awesome. I loved every beat of that moment. Again, the music was awesome. The cinematography. I need to say it correctly. Everything about that last episode specifically was great. It was an awesome buildup. Every race before the final race was still just as good and just as crazy. But when you look back on it after seeing like that final race, you're like, oh wow, those were nothing compared to this one. This one's crazy. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the way that they capture skateboarding and just the movement of it and the action scenes of it, it is so dynamic. The way the camera kind of moves through while they're going is amazing. This is a great, it reminds me of kind of like how you're like, oh, how can you make skateboarding interesting in anime? Like how I felt when I watched Blue Lock for the first time of like, how do we make soccer interesting in anime? And they found a way, and Skate the Infinity definitely found a way. This is just a great show. It has action, it has comedy, it has friendship. It's just great. And yeah, I love this. I mean, they're friends. They're all friends.
No, they are.
Maybe,
they are.
Maybe more. I mean, there was that scene where like the way Longa talks about Reki to his mom. And his mom's like,
yes.
You tell that, that's a lucky girl. He's like, wait, what are you talking about?
Girl. But at the same time, when Longa talks about Reki in general, or his thoughts, right? His monologues, like they are so romanticized. It's very difficult not to be hopeful for the two of them. That's my issue. Like, I don't want to press like my own once.
I mean, you definitely paired a whole bunch of people before.
I did 100%. But I don't want to, like, I don't want to like have like that wishful thinking, because that can also be harmful both to, you know, to yourself, but also your image of the show that you really like, right? Because you're putting on things that are not canonized or whatever. And sometimes if you're romanticizing it too much, then it not in a big way, but it can definitely kind of come back and bite you in the butt at the same time, just because it didn't go the way you wanted it to. But it is very difficult not to, the way they've romanticized all of these characters.
Yeah, every time I've seen this anime, I'm like, it can go either way. Like, it could go into something romantic between them, like the way they talk and the way they interact with each other. You're like, oh, this is blossoming into a love. But then you can also be like, oh, this is just a very, like, these two are, like, that friendship that comes once in a lifetime, I feel like. And then it's like, they have it. So yeah. It just feels like they don't can go either way to me. And, like, I think either way I'd be happy. I'm like, you know what? They found each other.
And that's kind of where I'm at, too, because it's like, I don't need every character I go to watch to be gay, right? Like they, especially when it comes to characters feeling the need to portray their feelings. Like if anything, I think it's great that this anime, if they do end up straight, then that just shows for the straight community that you can express those kind of feelings and friendships and it not be a gay thing. It's just a thing. It's just being human. Right. And so I do like it in that sense as well. And that's another reason why I don't want to romanticize all of these characters, because it's like that's not the image that I want to have in my head every time I watch any sort of friendship in pop culture. Like the friendships can just be friendships.
Yeah. But, you know, I think, like I said, it can go either way with them. I say this show is very heavily queer coded. So it wouldn't surprise me if, like, I really think Cherry and Joe would be together, if anything.
Those two remind you of just like those gunkles, right? The gay uncles. Yeah. they are funny. There's something else. I did enjoy them. They were fun.
But yeah, I well, to finish it off, what are some of your final thoughts, and would you recommend Scape Infinity?
So my final thoughts, I don't know how much more I can say it. I love the show so much that I'm not just recommending the show to people I meet. I ensured that Miguel didn't watch this yet. Like, I watched it while he was at work, and I'm starting it with him tonight because I want him to watch it, and that just gives me the chance to rewatch it. So I'm excited for that. Queer coding or otherwise, I genuinely think this is a good show that a lot of people who are anime fans would really enjoy. It has underdog stories. It has, you know, great life lessons. It has the comic relief, the action, the drama, the suspense. It has everything you need in a really good anime. Only 12 episodes, 13 if you include the OVA that happens after the 12th episode. It's a very weird OVA, but I mean, you know, it's still fun.
For me, this is definitely a recommend. My final thoughts about it is that I love sports animes because they are team oriented and they are about creating very strong friendships with people. So this definitely hits all the check marks of that. Even before I knew that this had become a adopted queer anime by the community, I was already like, this is an adopted queer. Like, I was like, this is definitely a gay anime, right? So I don't know. It just feels like it should be watched this month. This feels like a celebration of it. You know, watch this, watch the Babadook, your queer icons of, dude, Skate the Infinity and the Babadook. It's a great double feature. I can't recommend this enough. I've been wanting to do this anime for the podcast for the longest time. This podcast, the podcast I've done before this one, I'm like, we need to do Skate the Infinity. It's so good. The community loves this anime so much. So I definitely recommend it. This is worth a Crunchyroll subscription, you know. So those are just my opinions on it. Well, those are just some of our opinions, but we would love to hear what you think of Skate the Infinity. If you got to watch it, what do you think? Who are some of your favorite characters? What are some of your favorite moments? Please let us know at Anime Bento Pod on Instagram. And where else? Wherever else we're on. I think we're on Twitter as well. So it should all be Anime Bento Pod. Well, it's time for our recommendation segment, where we share whatever we've been watching, reading, or just obsessed with.
Recommendations, recommendations. Here are some recommendations.
David, what is something you would like to recommend the audience this week?
Pokemon Champions. I finally started competitive play. So, but, you know, with my streaming and everything, that's probably what I'm going to be streaming, at least for a while, as I continue to learn that competitive scene. My deck, you know, 30 years of Pokemon, and I've never really looked at the competitive scene. It was always more of casual play and all, you know, more of the collector side. But Champions has been an incredibly challenging but fun experience. I did make it to Master Rank already, so I was excited about that. But it's fun for anybody who wants to even try to learn competitive play. Highly recommend it. Anime-wise, I've talked about a few different anime with my choices that I went over. But one that we rewatch all the time in my house would be By the Grace of the Gods and Kotro Lives Alone. Highly recommend both of them. They are great slice of life anime.
Nice. I also recommend Kotro Lives Alone. I'm hoping we can do it on the podcast eventually. That's one of my favorite animes.
We definitely should.
For my recommendation of the week, I'm continuing my Pride Month recommendations. And this one is a manga that I really enjoyed. And it's called I Think Our Son is Gay. This is written by Okura. I Think Our Son Is Gay. It's a wholesome slice of life manga. It's about a family whose mom thinks her son is gay. And instead of just right out being like, are you gay, or confronting him about it, she instead fosters an environment that is comforting and loving and gentle for him to come out whenever he feels like it. There are no big shouting matches in the manga, no trauma heavy drama. The tension comes from just unsent feelings and overthinking. The mom is very caring and she's trying really hard to understand her son. It's soft and super relatable. It's a manga about an acceptance in progress than just a giant coming out moment. So if you want something very sweet and wholesome and to just continue a celebration of Pride Month, I Think Our Son Is Gay is a great manga to read. I believe there's 5 or 6 books. So that is my recommendation of the week. And finally, the kitchen is closed for today. You can find us on Instagram at AnimeBentoPod. You can find me at Jimsta2.
You can find me at EpicallyDave.
Thanks for listening. Hope you're full of anime and even more full of good food. We'll catch you next time. Stay legendary.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
The show.